Good morning, and welcome to WDRT's show Conversations. My name is Steve Brandl, and I'm happy to be here today. Joining us today is Julia from the Kickapoo Valley Forest School. You know, we're so lucky in this area to have so many K-12 school options as part of the Driftless area. From our amazing array of traditional public schools, to private schools, to homeschool groups, and hybrids of all of the above, it's truly an advantage of living in the area. And we all know that kids are all so different. Having these options is super important for the education of our kids. So again, we're welcoming Julia Buckingham, and she is with the Kickapoo Valley Forest School. So welcome, Julia.
Thank you so much for having us.
Yeah.
In representation of the Forest School, we're really glad to be here and have this opportunity to talk to you about all of our work.
Perfect. And tell us about yourself. Are you a local gal?
Sure. I've been on my family's land for the last 15 years with my husband, and I came up here all the time as a young girl and knew I needed to move back in my adult life. So here I am working in public education in the rural communities surrounding Lafarge.
Sure. So tell us about, take it from the beginning on the Kickapoo Valley Forest School. How old is it? Where is it located? How did it get started? Give us the whole back picture of it.
Sure. So currently the school is in its fourth year of operating with students. It's in its fifth year of in its development from the beginning. And so taking it back to about 2019 or a little bit before that, the Janelle Kesaw from the Kickapoo Valley Reserve at that time was the education coordinator for the reserve, and Robin Hoseman was also working with the Environmental Education Department at KVR, and Megan Gustafson is now the superintendent at Lafarge Public Schools. And so they got together with this wonderful idea to how to bring more in-depth environmental education to the region, seeing the need that instead of these one-off programs, that we could really provide an in-depth opportunity for children to engage and learn from the natural world through the public school system. And so from that idea, two things were happening simultaneously. Those three women created a steering committee, which involved people from the community who had an interest in education and an interest in charter schooling and an interest in innovation. And they got together the steering committee, including Josh Hansen, the principal at the time at Lafarge, and sort of talking about what we could do and how we could do it. Then, at the same time, Ximena Puig was started to run a Forest Fridays program at the Kickapoo Valley Reserve, sort of like a pilot to see families interested, what was working well, what we could change before we amped it up into an actual day-to-day public schooling system. And so that steering committee, and a lot to do with Robin Hoseman, that wrote, we did have some help writing a grant, but we wrote a grant to the Department of Public Instruction. I may say that again, but I might use the word, or the DPI as the shortened version. And so we wrote a grant, we wrote a proposal for a grant in February of 2020, right before pandemic hit. And this grant was going to be for $700,000 to help the startup of the school. And so cut to June 2020, we received the $700,000, and wow, we have to actually really do this thing. And so I was hired on shortly after that to be sort of a helper with getting all of the things, charter school, paperwork, so the school, the Lafarge School District has a charter contract with our school, and I can talk more about all the ins and outs of what a charter school is. And so all of that upstart started happening, and luckily we had a planning year, and it coincided with the COVID pandemic, so we were all able to work, via the internet and have meetings and do all of our grant information and compliances and paperwork to get everything up and running. And then so then following year, we were able to open our doors and we had 4K, so that's 4-year-old kindergarten, and 5K, which is 5-year-old kindergarten, two groups of classes housed at the Kickapoo Valley Reserve. And so Jimena Puig and I were the two teachers for that very first year. And since then, we've added teachers, we've added paraeducators, we've added AmeriCorps support staff, and we are currently having, we have third grade students, and we're expanding up, hopefully, till fifth grade.
So third grade is the oldest in the sequence up to this point,
right?
But you're going to take it to fifth grade.
Correct, yeah. So my that for year one, those kindergartners are now third grade. And so we've let those that upperclassmen group grow, and we've just been filling in from the bottom or extra student spaces available. Mm-hmm. So
okay. And did you model this school after like an existing school in Missouri or something like that? Was there some criteria that you had something to go on, or is it all your concept?
Yes and no. I feel we were very innovative in a lot of the things that we did. We also did, so I'm Montessori trained and Jimena Puig is Waldorf trained, so we used some of those elements for sure as far as, multi-age and oral storytelling and arts and those foundational, experiences that we had. And we had a mentor school, River Edge. They're over on the eastern side of the state. They weren't doing exactly what we were doing, but they did have the goal of getting children outside. And I guess I should talk more about like what we do at school too, and I know we'll get to that. So that is, it wasn't a cut molded version. We definitely had to write a lot of our curriculum and explain our vision. We call it the KVFS way, the Kickapoo Valley Forest School way. And so it takes a lot to onboard our teachers and our staff and our family and our governance board, just what we do in education, because it is unique.
Mm-hmm.
For sure.
And you had to put together the concept of the school and then take it to the state to make sure you got funded. So was that, or who approves it from, is it like the state education something, or?
Yeah.
Who approves it?
Sure, the Department of Public Instruction has a a grant office. And they oversee, a charter school office. And so they oversee a lot of the charter schooling. And so they have the slogan of autonomy with accountability, right? So they let schools have the say in how they want to do school, how they want to use curriculum, but yet the school still holds a lot of, needs to, come up to these specific measures that are mandated by the state academic standards, assessments, report carding, letting children, making sure that they are being seen through individual education plans if needed. And so with that, there's still a lot of, so they kind of, that are the catalyst, I suppose, to help these school districts innovate with charter schools.
And like how many charter schools are there in the state of Wisconsin? Do you have any idea?
There's quite a few, yes. And I feel it's becoming more popular for smaller districts to add on charter schools, because it allows for those schools to attract other people that might be outside of their existing student body within their school boundaries.
Okay.
And so there are two types of charter schools. There's a, where they're called an entity, like where they're like part of the actual school district, which we are. So all of our funding supports and goes through the Lafarge Charter School, the Lafarge School District.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're a part, we're a part of that school.
Right. So the Lafarge School District's Board of Education has kind of governance or oversight over the Kickapoo Valley Forest School and their traditional K-12 school in
Correct.
Lafarge.
Okay. Yes, and our teachers are Lafarge School District employees.
Employees, okay, mm-hmm. Okay. And tell us more about the realities when you have a charter school. How much elbow room do you get? How much freedom do you have to make changes versus having to stick to the curriculum? So, Because on the one hand, it seems like the state wants charter schools to give more options, to learn new ways of doing things and that sort of thing. And on the other hand, I'm sure you have to live by some stringent state rules or something. Mm-hmm. So tell us more about that.
Sure. They give a lot of wiggle room. For sure.
Oh, really?
Yes, okay. They do. It's really great, and I'd love to talk more about our, ins and outs of our curriculum, but the idea that the children are learning and growing and achieving, they are very, very supportive of the innovation and curriculum.
Okay, well, that's great. I mean, mm-hmm. One might think that it would get bogged down in the bureaucracy of government Mm-mm. or something like that, but they're really, the Department of Public Education is really letting you lead mm-hmm. in it, so that's cool.
And we're very fortunate to have an extremely supportive district administrator and school board. And so I think of all of that, I think that's what it really boils down to, is like, how supportive is the administration of the school?
Right.
And so we're very lucky to be extremely supported by Lafarge School District.
Right. And just kind of then on the day-to-day, you're talking about the Kickapoo Valley Reserve. Do you actually, is that your in-room classrooms are there, or do you use the public school classrooms?
Actually, right now, both. So we originally started at the KVR with two classes. Now we have three classes at the Kickapoo Valley Reserve, which those three will move over with our existing two. So we have a total of five classes. And starting for the 2025-26 school year, so next year, all of our classes will be housed in the legacy 1901 building at the Lafarge School District.
Okay. And this school, even though it's in Lafarge and in the Lafarge School District, the same open enrollment applies?
Mm-hmm.
So you have students from outside of the district members of the classes now?
Yes, we have some Lafarge students, but we also have quite a few that are coming from surrounding neighborhoods, neighbors,
okay.
towns, villages.
Right,
yeah.
Right. And is it hard to get students to come, or is it you get too many applications and you have to
I think the administration has been really thoughtful of that. And so if we have families who are very interested in coming to our school, we look at the overall class size, we look at the overall enrollment, we sort of shift and see. So sometimes we might have mixed age classes if one room doesn't have, or one classroom doesn't have as many students. And so we have flexibility in our ages, our 4K through fourth grade as a total, it's more of a total than per grade. And so I feel like that's the sweet spot to be able to allow people who are interested in a spot. And
right.
So we've been operating like that for the last couple of years, and it's been working really well for us.
Mm-hmm. And kind of the school calendar, the holiday breaks, the summer vacations, that's pretty much mirrors the public school?
Pretty much, yes. Yeah, okay. So when we have a snow day, Lafarge School District cancels, and then we get canceled too, sort of things like that, yeah.
Okay, and there too for transportation, is it the same that your kids can ride on the same bus as the rest of the kids at the K-12 school?
If they are, only if they're Lafarge
if
residents.
They're, right, mm-hmm. right.
Or if they're, going to aftercare in Lafarge or a grandparent in Lafarge or something. Like, it has to stay within. I think school districts are very particular about their bus line, but they're busing lines. And so
yes.
They can go on the bus as long as it's in Lafarge.
Okay, so just following that same,
yeah.
that same kind of, the same layout is what it is for
mm-hmm.
for public school. And how many employees do you have now?
We have, I think, 10, 12.
Uh-huh.
I should have that number. But we have five teachers, and usually there's always an adult when we're going out. So when we do our going out adventures, there's always another adult with the group for safety reasons.
Sure, sure. And I saw when I was looking online, I saw you have paraeducators and things that are those qualifications just like a traditional public school.
Mm-hmm. And then, so our paraeducators are Lafarge District employees as well. And we also work with WizCorps in La Crosse. And they we're a mentor school for two members. They're called individual placement members. And so we have two AmeriCorps members that work with us.
Okay, so WIS Corps and AmeriCorps are the, mm-hmm. are the same thing. And those are younger adults that are going through college?
Or? Typically, or people who are very interested in our school and would love to learn more, or interested in helping and
sure.
want to join, yeah.
Sure. And do you have parent volunteers? Is that part of the...
Yeah, so I should, because we are a charter school, we have what's called a governance council. And so that's a requirement that the DPI makes sure that we have. And so our governance council is fabulous, and it's made up of a very wonderful group of, I believe we're all women, which is great. Our leadership at our school is all women, and our governance council is, just by happenstance. And they're very helpful in all the things to help with the school operate. So additional extra things, fundraising, gathering extra supplies for projects at school, helping to navigate this change of us moving our classes from KVR all over to the Lafarge School District. Just a really great opportunity to sort of have more minds try to figure out all of the parts. And so part of that governance council is we have working committees. For instance, we have a programs and services committee, and so that they kind of like help all the programming sort of materials that I was talking about.
Sure.
You know, we need hammocks for the children. Okay, we'll do the research and we'll recommend these type of hammocks or something. Or our program or our fundraising and marketing does a lot of our events that I can talk about later on in the programming. But that's a huge benefit to help, because our fundraising does help to fund those two AmeriCorps programs, two
Nifty.
AmeriCorps members. And we have, development, which is huge. So as we expand our grades, we have a lot of work to do. We're going to have to recharter our charter. And so a lot of those procedural and documents happen in development. And so they're really busy. You know, they ebb and flow as far as workload. But right now I feel all three of those committees are very active.
Okay.
And so parents can come and join those committees, which is really helpful. Right. And we have some parents that are excited about some parent-powered programming to help with crafting with the children. We have a garden, which I can talk more about soon, and parents are really excited to help with the planting and growing of those items.
Yeah.
Well,
great. Well, yeah, we're getting all the nuts and bolts out of the way, I guess,
yeah.
in the first part of this show.
Yeah.
In the next step, we're going to be talking more about the fun stuff, the curriculum and that sort of thing. But before that, I just wanted to mention that you are listening to WDRT in Viroqua, Wisconsin. The name of our show is Conversations. You can hear this show, and you're probably listening today, which is Thursday, at 9 a.m. At 91.9 FM. My name is Steve Brandl. The name of this show is Conversations. And today we're talking to Julia Buckingham from the Kickapoo Valley Forest School. If you want to hear the show again or share the show with a friend, you can find us at the WDRT Conversation Archives. If you just go to wdrt.org, search Conversations, and then look for this show about the Kickapoo Valley Forest School. And again, you can share it with friends. Thanks for joining us today. All right. And we are back with Julia Buckingham from the Kickapoo Valley Forest School. And let's turn the conversation to the actual curriculum of the Kickapoo Valley Forest School. Go for it, Julia. How is it the same as other schools? How is it different? You know, it obviously has a outdoor nature at its base. So tell us how you implement that.
Sure. Yeah, I can start with our vision, you know, our stated vision. And so the Kickapoo Valley Forest School honors full nature immersion, child-centered practices, and environmental stewardship. Our vision is to create a school where all students can learn and grow through the engagement in the natural world. And so we are a public school. We are tuition free, and we accept all age eligible students. We teach to the Wisconsin state standards, and students actually have state mandated assessments. We have similar books and scope and sequences for phonics practice and reading and math as the Lafarge Elementary. We do make it a daily priority to get children outside for extended periods of time. And we do allow children to freely play with each other for extended periods so they can build and create and imagine, learning from each other using outdoor materials, logs, sticks, branches, and the natural world to help spark their imagination and engagement. We are finding the balance between all the developmental needs of the children. Often our reading, writing, and math skills are incorporated in with what we call seasonal studies that focus on a natural phenomenon that is happening in nature at that time. And the teachers are constantly tying in natural elements to their day-to-day skill practice and study. And for example, our current 4K and kindergarten students are studying the letter V in the V sound. And so we're talking a lot about the turkey vultures and their return this week or next. And next week we're going to talk about the letter R, the R. And so the students are actually going to have an opportunity to see a live raptor. And so we, depending on the developmental needs of the or age of the child, we bring in more and more of those natural elements. So we are using a lot of those basic skill building skills that you would see in mostly lots of schools. And we're also adding in those natural elements with that key focus of making sure that the students are getting outside in all types of weather, no matter what the day is, you know, pouring rain or really cold, at some point we really want the children to go outside and be outside because there's so much learning that happens in those elements. The most freezing cold February morning, I can see the most magical, beautiful sights.
And sure. So, you know, in a traditional school, you know, there was morning recess and afternoon recess and that sort of thing. What percentage of your day do you think, on the average, you are actually outside?
Sure. I think it's student-dependent and weather-dependent. So last week, we had a really nice warm spell, and the children were out for 5 hours.
Right.
And then on a day where it might be colder, it might only be an hour and a half, 2 hours.
Okay.
So it's very dependent on that. It also depends on maybe how tired the children are, or if we have a bigger, you know, if we have a plan to go on an adventure at the Kickapoo Valley Reserve on a Tuesday morning, maybe Monday play, you know, outside engagement time will not be as long or something. And so
sure.
We can, what that's really great is that we can sort of flex the amount of time depending on all of the things.
Right. And I would assume you probably get kids that have all kinds of different experiences and of being outdoors. Some that, you know, their family spends more time out, some families spend less time outside. How do you get all those kids on the same page? Or, you know, what happens when it's like, half of them want to do more and half of them want to do less outdoor stuff today? Well, how does that work as
sure.
a teacher?
Yeah, that's a good point. So we first start off with making sure everyone has the proper gear. And so we talk a lot to parents about what we feel recommend, not necessarily the brands, but the type of clothing, you know, woolen underlayers, a balaclava, which is a thing that goes over your head and it's like almost like a hat, but also a neck warmer and just your face shows. So like or mittens that go over the sleeve of your coat and not, you know, to the cuff where the snow can sneak in between.
Sure.
So we were really specific about those sort of things. And actually, we're really interested in partnering with like My Wild Child here in Viroqua to create like a kit, you know? So like with this is like a recommended kit that parents don't even have to think about. They can just go there and purchase the kit, you know?
One-stop shopping.
Yes, exactly, right? Because in that way, because we know, I've seen a dramatic change in a child who maybe had multiple different like snow pants and pants and then just put on a one suit zip up totally independently, happy little clam.
Right.
And so that's another thing, just navigating all that sensory input of putting on all those layers and gear. And so, you know, really starting with with that, and with the right gear, the right clothing. And then we start with, then the second thing is making sure that they're properly fueled. And so we have a parent-powered snack program where the parents are sign up for or assigned a day, a week, or pardon me, a month. And so everyone or someone brings a snack a different day of the month. And that really helps fuel the children. So that's another thing we work on to make sure that they're all fed and happy. And then for the younger grades, and they have a resting in the afternoon so that they can crawl in their little sleeping bag and be cozy. And the older grades might have like a quiet resting time reading books or working on some quiet seat work. And so that'll help as far as the day-to-day. We take off all those variables that these children from all these different families may be coming in. When we set those things, that kind of helps cut down some of the extra needs.
Right.
And then it's great because we can decide to have a close day and maybe just play, you know, in Village Park in Lafarge, or we could venture further and play at in the garden, the school. The Lafarge School District has, I don't know if it's a half acre or maybe a little more, garden of apple trees and planted annual beds and a little warming shelter, and the children love that. So our youngest children can go there. And then even just over the hill, Organic Valley is so nice to allow us to venture onto their beautiful land, which is about 26 acres. And so depending on the day and depending on the needs, we can sort of flex and see what the stamina the children have to venture to all those places.
Right, right. And I guess I don't think we mentioned it yet. How many kids per class, or what is your total enrollment right now? And
sure, I think I should have had these numbers. I would think that I think we have maybe about 70 students.
70 students?
Yeah, maybe a little bit more.
So how many is there? Do you cap the class size, or do you flex the class size?
Yeah, I think we don't want I think just for safety and for, you know, if you see some cute, cool thing in nature and you want to look at it, you don't want a ton of children sort of like going into an area and trampling it or, you know,
sure,
you know, all descending on this cute little frog. So that's one reason, but also safety. So we have about 18, I think, is our cap per class.
Okay.
Yeah.
And you leave it up the flexibility to the teacher to decide what works today. You know, it's not like every day at 2 o'clock we take our kids out, or is that how it goes?
Well, yeah, we have a general schedule. So, you know, we've found over the years to have a slow start inside. So everyone comes to school, they, you know, put their items in their cubby, they do some academic seat work right away in the morning when they're nice and fresh. And then we have a little small group time, and they go to the bathroom. And then as a teacher, we can see them actually getting on all those layers, you know, and making
right.
sure and helping, or like, oh, you forgot your hat. You know, I have an extra, we always have tons of extra gear to loan out. And so that really helps us set those like goals. So we know everyone's been fed, everyone's been bathroomed, everyone has all the layers on. And so that slow start in the morning has been really helpful. So then then we can go out. So that inside start time, maybe an hour, maybe it's 2 hours dependent. And then we'll go out, always trying to eat lunch outside when possible. But we know that children can get cold.
Right.
And so just we want them to actually eat their food and fuel up and not have to, like, worry about being cold. And so we'll be really mindful about where that is. And so what's really great now is that everyone brings a lunch from home or can receive, like, a field trip sack lunch, brown paper bag lunch from the school district.
Okay.
And so it's great that we have an on-the-go choice of where to lunch.
Sure. Sure. And I think I have this right. Isn't there like every Wednesday or something like that, some of the older students go out to property on a bus trip a bit away from the KVR?
Correct. Yes. They have a private land owner that allows the students to come and be on their land. And I know that the school would love to have the opportunity to talk with other private landowners. If you're ever interested, please reach out to the school.
Okay.
I'll put a plug in there.
Okay.
Because it's a wonderful way to see so many diverse and other ecosystems instead of going to the same place all the time. And so we see that for our 4K students, our youngest learners, it's great to go to the really really close by garden, and then maybe a morning trip to the KVR every once in a while, or, you know, one morning a week. But for our older students, to have an actual long immersion day where they're gone, you know, 9 a.m. and they come back at 2:30. And so our third graders are doing that right now with some great success. They're able to build a little warming shelter, and so I think they've been really enjoying their time out there.
Right. And I know when I've been out to the KVR, you actually have a couple of physical buildings outside. Are those like class buildings, or are those like float buildings that today the kindergarten's coming and tomorrow the third grade's coming kind of thing? How does that work?
Yeah, those are all housed for one particular class.
Okay.
And so those are owned by the Kickapoo Valley Reserve, and the Lafarge School District rents those buildings.
Okay. And they're separated from the main visitor center at the KVR, but yet the restrooms can be swapped or something like used as well.
Correct.
In that situation.
Correct. Right.
Okay. And earlier you mentioned that as part of the school curriculum that you were incorporating some Montessori teaching philosophies and Waldorf teaching philosophies, just because of the experience of some of the teachers you have. Tell us more about that. What are some of those, or give us easy examples of what those are.
Mm-hmm. So, with the Waldorf, you know, education, we really try to bring in oral stories. And I'm not Waldorf trained, so I hope I don't misspeak. But the idea of bringing in oral stories of things that are happening, things that we're seeing, and really bringing that oral language to the students as far as as part of our literacy curriculum. It's a really wonderful opportunity to, you know, be out on the trail, sit the children down for group time, and to tell stories, and children really like to hear those oral stories. Then you don't need to carry a book, right? You can always just talk. We also sing a lot. We sing a lot of songs to gather the children. We sing songs to talk about what's happening in nature at the time. And that's always a really nice community building opportunity that the children do.
Okay.
And then some of the hands-on materials that we have are, I think, Waldorf-inspired as far as, the puzzles and the things that the children can use during their inside time. And for Montessori, we pull some of the language activities of, composing words with letters that you can move together to spell out words. Instead of having to write them, you can use these little letters and build your words that way. And so some of the materials that we use.
Sure, sure. And again, talking about your website, it had a little section on the values, and it talked about responsibility, respect, relationships, real work, and that sort of thing. Tell us more about how you incorporate those attributes into your lesson plans.
Sure. So coming to, I've been a public school educator for over 15 years, but coming to work at the Kickapoo Valley Reserve, the Kickapoo Valley Forest School, was the first time that I actually worked at a school that was play-based, right, to allow the children to have unstructured time playing. So what's really great about KVFS is that we take that play time and we put it in the natural world. So now the children are not only getting free time to play, but now they're having free time to play in the natural world. And so those two really marry each other very, very well. And it's amazing the amount of things that the children are able to learn within this, an educational learning environment that we've brought them to, that we facilitated, I suppose. You know, I feel like the teachers are these facilitators of play in a way. And so that goes back to the teachers, where the teacher chooses to take the child is a way that sets up the child's experience, which is part of the curriculum and what they want the children to see or observe and engage in. But allowing the children this idea of, play-based, allowing children is, I think, a wonderful, wonderful attribute to allow children to have. I'm just thinking back of my time when I worked with Deb Clark here at the Viroqua Elementary School. I know she was a huge play. She's really huge, really interested in play. And so I feel like, hearing her say, like, the pendulum is swinging back into allowing children to have that time to play. Because it really is the fundamental way that children learn is to hands-on experiences, talking to each other, practicing their language, trying something over and over again, or climbing a tree and strengthening their body, or running fast down a hill and learning their coordination and their balance. And so to allow the children to be able to engage and play in this environment is huge. And I feel in a way we're protecting childhood. You know, we're not, when I think about the age-old sayings of, oh, after school, all the friends would get together in the woods and we would play. I feel like that's not happening as much anymore because of overscheduled schedules, or because of, people living in rural community and not being able to engage with their peers as much. Hopefully they're playing with their siblings, but the idea of, like, I feel like we're creating this time for all these children to come together and to learn and to play and engage with each other. We're like recreating, a really important childhood need. And so protecting that and allowing that and making that a priority to have children be able to engage and do each day is fundamental what we're doing.
Sure. Sure. Yeah. Teaching's a tough business. I mean, it's you're trying to do what's right for the kids all the time. There always is pressure about outcomes and things like that, like testing and things like that. Are our children advancing? And, every once in a while, the circles around and it's like, okay, now we want to judge and we want to put it on a graph and that sort of thing. And I know I have a lot of family members that are in education, and it's just like, wow, that's the really tough part. It's like, what's best for the kids and what's best for the community and that sort of thing. So again, I think that that just kind of goes back to the need for as many educational options as we have in the area. It's just that important. So what else as far as the kids themselves and the everyday that they do, have you learned after doing this now for 3+ years? What has surprised you in those 3 years, and what modifications have you had to make that you thought was going to work, but it didn't work, and that sort of thing? Any stories like that to talk about?
Yeah, I do want to talk about my very first aha moments of year one. But yes, for instance, that slow start in the morning was a big change for us. We used to have the children go right out into the woods, but then we realized, well, I think they're going to be a lot more successful if they start inside. So
sure.
Things like that, how to do schooling in this environment, right? And so I think you said it really well, managing and organizing and all those little things that come together. But I'm thinking about my very first year seeing our 4K and kindergarten students. We have mixed age, so there's two grades in one class, and then there might be two classes of that, which is great for teacher planning. So year one, Jimena and I were kind of co-teaching in that style. And I remember the children, the children had not gone to four schooling before. Maybe they had done the pilot program on Fridays. Maybe they came from farms where they were running around in the woods or had opportunities with families to be outside. But I really noticed the strength and coordination of the children increasing. And I would feel remiss to not have somehow like tracked that or, graphed it. It's like to see the, one day it made me realize when I saw a student running down the hill and just like very agilely, like a gazelle, or deer, I should say, right? Springing over these sticks, not tripping, but being able to very gracefully run through the woods. And I was like, oh my goodness, you couldn't do that,
right?
A few weeks ago. And so, and then I could see like the actual like strengthening, core strength of the children. Like, if they were a little bent over, I could almost see them as the days grew, as they grew and the days went on and they were outside more, that they're, you could see their core strength in their body just, tighten up. And it's just amazing how much strength they are able to gain through running and balancing and, you know, climbing in the trees. It's kind of phenomenal.
Increased stamina is something. And you know, just to be able to roll with the punches kind of on, like, I got snow in my mittens kind
of
thing.
Yeah, like that grit. It's, right. You know, yes.
Right.
You know how to brush it off, right? Or, you know, like, I've seen someone tumble, fall, and just kind of stand up and look around.
Yeah. Right.
And it's really great to hear parents tell us those stories of, you know, last summer, they would have cried if they had tumbled, but now they're, you know, up and at it again. And so instead of me as an educator seeing it for like my first aha moment, I feel like I can hear those things year after year from the parents recalling the change that they're seeing in their students.
Well, awesome. Again, thank you, Julia, for joining us today. You are listening to WDRT 91.9 FM in Viroqua. The name of our show is Conversations. You can hear, you're listening to this show live in February of 2025. And you can also find this show on our archives page, WDRT.org. So thanks again for joining us today. All right, Julia, we're back. Again, so tell us more about, the learning highlights and how having the great outdoors as your learning center affects the kids in a positive way.
Mm-hmm. Going back to, you know, the idea of free play, the children have a lot of time to sort of navigate their interpersonal conflicts and skills. And so the teachers are very mindful about watching for those interactions and helping coach the children to work through something that they want or don't like so much. And so being able to be there and help them, you know, as like a social mentor kind of, has been really beneficial. And we've seen a lot of that growth from our youngest 4K students. And I witnessed some third graders talking over how they didn't like sand being thrown at each other. And so, like, next time, could you make sure? You know, like, it was really wonderful to sort of see that progression and their ability to self-advocate for themselves. Mm-hmm. Additionally, we've really seen a wonderful and rich vocabulary that our children are able to learn because of the stories and the books and definitely the hands-on experiences that the children have been able to witness, have been able to, you know, in detail talk about all of the treasures that they've seen, sure, and identify them by name, which is really neat. And then another real thing is, I feel like all the disciplines of science that the children really can understand because of those hands-on tactile trial and error activities that they've been able to engage with. So it's really neat to see that just by playing and doing and engaging at their own free time, they're able to really take in so many really important concepts, academic concepts.
Right. And again, is there any kind of sharing group that you as educators have that, again, where you can collaborate, or have you had other school districts come to see what you're doing at the Kickapoo Valley Reserve at the Forest School and, you know, try to learn? Or is there a groundswell of this sort of avenue out there?
Well, we hope more and more. So some schools have reached out to the school, and so Janelle Kisa is really good about, you know, talking to the school and helping them get started if they're interested in doing that. A lot of times we see that they're private schools, so we're really proud that we're public and
right,
tuition free. But we've given conference presentations at the UW La Crosse.
Okay.
We are open to having student teachers from the university come over and sort of, you know, learn what we're doing as their actual practicum for school. So if there's any teachers out there who are interested in doing a practicum with KVFS,
oh, wow,
please reach out to us. We would love to do more, and, you know, it'd be great to have a training center someday. So we'll
sure
see, but yeah, we're going to keep plugging away and
okay
telling people about it.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so tell us more about, how a family can learn more about the Forest School. You know, are there open houses you have, or how does that work?
So yes, we typically have open houses closer to the start of the new school year. So if families are interested in enrolling, that usually happens during the month of February. And so the student would have to be 4 years old on or before September 1st of that year, so of that school year. And so the family would apply on a Google form that we have on our website. And then in beginning of March, the family will receive more information about next steps. Okay. And so typically the biggest way right now to learn more about the school is probably just through our seasonal events that we have.
Okay. Yeah. And the application process is the same is if you were in the LaFarge School District or you were opting school choice like you would any other school?
They're separate as far as like register, because you're registering for the LaFarge School District, or you're sort of like applying to see if there's space available in the Kickapoo Valley Reserve.
Okay.
For a school, sorry.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right. And what else, what other good tidbits of information are there for families thinking about this and wanting to learn more?
I would think, you know, but maybe follow our social media. We have Instagram that's pretty active and gives highlights of what we're doing. We have a very strong family, presence. So find a parent that has a child going to the Kickapoo Valley Forest School, and I think that would really help. They'll be able to answer a lot of questions on what they see their child doing, how they see their child growing, what they like about it. I think that would be a really great way. And our website has some information.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I forgot to ask this earlier. Can a student join a class, or do they have to start at the beginning with the 3K and 4K and work their way through the whole system?
We have usually there's openings throughout all the classes. It's dependent on what the numbers at the particular year, the number of students. But in the past, we've typically had openings in all the classes. Mm-hmm. So I would just reach out to the school and check in and see.
Sure. And what other tidbits can you give us today? Any events coming up or what's...
Yeah, we do have seasonal events. So in October, we have a square dance. We've had it at the LaFarge Community Hall, but I feel like it's getting large, and maybe that'll be housed at the LaFarge School District gym. But the square dances are wonderful, so much fun. And then in May, we have Snails on Trails, where the families can come and be together out on the old 131 at the Kickapoo Valley Reserve and bike or scooter or walk, stroll the trails. That's always fun. And then actually this Sunday, we have our Heart of Winter this Sunday, February 16th from 9:30 to 12:30, taking place at the LaFarge School District. We'll have pancakes and Isaac the Magician, which I'm really excited about, family games and crafts, a silent auction, and we wanted to thank our sponsors, Organic Valley, Driftless Cafe, Maple Valley Co-op, Wonder State, Viroqua Food Co-op, Schreiber Foods, and the Driftless Provisions.
Wow, and is that an annual event that you have?
It okay. is, and so this is the first year at LaFarge, the LaFarge Gym, I think there's two gyms, because it's gotten so big.
Okay.
And so it should be really fun. We hope you can join us.
Right.
Yeah.
So both of those events continue to be successful and growing. You said the square dance is mm-hmm. busting the walls out of the
yes.
community center.
Yes. Okay. And it's really great too, because these events are put on by our governance council for fundraising. And so a lot of it goes to our AmeriCorps members
okay.
to be a part of our school.
Okay. Well, great. Julia, thanks for joining us today. Anything else you wanted to add? Or?
Yeah, this is really great. Thank you so much for having us today.
Well, again, thanks for joining us. That's Julia Buckingham from the Kickapoo Valley Forest School. And thanks for listening, folks. You can listen every week, Thursday morning at 9 a.m., rotating group of people interviewing a rotating group of guests. So please feel free to join us, and thanks for supporting WDRT.